Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to InfectScoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with 2008 Army Journalist of the Year and author of Amidst Traffic, Michelle Saray. Amidst Traffic is a collection of fiction short stories. Each story is crafted with a sense of compassion for the human spirit. And although each story stands on its own, the book presents a world of interconnected storylines. These stories will move the reader to reflect upon the impact their own lives have on others. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Michelle. Michelle was born in Italy and moved to the U.S. when he was 10 years old. He published his first novel, Breathing God, at the age of 19, and studied creative writing at the University of Pittsburgh. He's had short stories published in literary journals around the world, including the U.S., Great Britain, and Australia. Michelle served as a public affairs specialist and journalist for the U.S. Army since 2004. His work has won several Scoop Bronquil Awards, and his short story, Lost in the Night, appeared in the anthology Best New Writing 2008. Also, his story, Three Straws, earned honorable mention in the Monte Culver Award in 2010. For more information on Michelle and his book, visit www.msaray.com. And that is M as in mother, S-A-U-R-E-T as in Tony.com. Hi, Michelle. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you guys.
Michelle, I was very impressed with your resume, first of all, because I'm also Italian. So why don't we learn a little bit about your background and tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I was born in Rome, Italy, in 85, and then I came to the States when I was 10, and I barely knew maybe five or six words of English, and it was kind of difficult at first to, communicate, make friends, but it seemed like I kind of picked it up quickly and then eventually lost my accent. Most people can't even believe that I wasn't born in the country, and let alone, be able to write and publish literary fiction in English. Kind of sometimes stupefies people. I take that as a compliment, I guess.
Yeah, it actually is. English is actually my third language because I grew up in South America from Italian parents. So you keep your Italian fresh, or how's your Italian?
It's sloppier than I'd like it to be. I definitely speak it and understand it perfectly. My whole family still speaks in Italian, but I had a trip to Italy last year with my wife, and then we're going to go back in March, and suddenly it just kind of rushes back to you. And then, unfortunately, because at home I don't practice it as much as I'd like to, sometimes it tends to get a little bit sloppy on me. But when the opportunity is there, I love it.
Yeah. And, even though you were born in a different country, you are actually in the Army Reserve, are you not?
Yes, I'm in the Army Reserve. I recently hit 10 years in the Army. I actually became a U.S. citizen a few years after I joined. So I've been a U.S. citizen for about 6 or 7 years and in the Army for 10.
Wow. And, it's impressive to me because the idea of the Army is the soldier that goes out and whatever, but you have a different job. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course, right, yeah. As you mentioned, most people, when they think about the military or the Army, they think infantrymen or maybe military police or engineer. And my job when I deployed in 2008 to Iraq was actually as a public affairs specialist. And I served as an Army journalist, which involved writing a lot of stories about the experiences and the sacrifices and the work that soldiers did overseas in Iraq. And it was extremely rewarding because you actually get to learn about a little bit about almost every job that's out there. And there's, dozens of military occupations. And through 1 year of writing articles and then capturing stories and really being able to convey emotions through words, I submitted my portfolio through the Army Chain of Command, and I ended up receiving the award for Army Journalist of the Year in 2008.
Wow. Must be such a humbling experience to hear some of these stories. I bet you.
Yeah, it was amazing. We one of, that will always stick to me is a soldier who had been out of the Army for several years, and he decided to get back in to do a one-year tour simply because he wanted to help out and devote another year of his life. And he actually, when he deployed to Iraq, he was able to raise $10,000 for a little girl, little Iraqi girl, to cover the payments for her medical procedure because she had a congenital heart disease. So, I mean, this little girl might have died if it hadn't been for his sacrifice and his time devoted to wanting to help out, you know, other human beings, essentially.
Wow. Wow. I'm glad that you're mentioning a story of a life-changing story from a soldier, you know, American soldier to a local, because that's exactly why I wrote my book, too. So, because American soldiers change so many lives just by being there.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
And, you know, my parents were one of those life-changing subjects. So do you see a lot of that in the soldiers that are, you know, in the, let's call it the 21st century warfare? Is this the same case?
Yeah, so the Army has definitely developed over the last course of the two wars that we've been in, Iraq and Afghanistan, where Army Reserve soldiers have actually been a lot more involved in the progress of deployment and war and being involved with the conflict more so than ever before. And I think as a result, because you're getting people who are primarily citizens for their day-to-day occupation, you have, you know, artists and teachers and all kinds of civilians who had to be activated as Army Reserve soldiers to deploy, you had a somewhat of a different perspective and how to handle the situation. And I understand that, unfortunately, the Iraq War is still known to be rather unpopular, but I can say for certain that it's because of those sacrifices that we actually had, we're able to establish tremendous relationships mm-hmm. with Iraqi people. And I saw that firsthand with little children. Little children were literally running to us anytime they saw soldiers in uniform. And we'd be delivering fertilizer and farm products to the local sheikhs and farmers. And it was just a human war, if anything, if you want to call it anything. It was it was actually an effort to help out the people in addition to combat the enemy.
Well, I imagine that having an experience like this, you were there, what, 1 year?
It was roughly a year deployment, including the pre and post the mobilization training. So mm-hmm. it took... it was roughly 10 months in country.
Yeah. I imagine that all seeing all these stories, because it's different when I'm sure that just the experience of being there changed you in some way, but listening to other people's stories and what they're going through and how they're absorbing this experience must have left a mark on you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, my job was to be able to be the voice of the soldiers who didn't have the opportunity to do so for themselves, because they were there to do work, but I was there to communicate to the American public about the work they did. I ended up winning an award for the writing that I did, but honestly, that award is meaningless without the work that was all established and completed by soldiers who devoted oftentimes years of their lives because they're on the second, third deployment to get the mission done. And honestly, the story that doesn't get told enough is really the relationship, the human interaction that took place between Americans and Iraqis. And obviously other countries were involved, such as Australia, Great Britain, France, and several others, and I saw those service members from the coalition forces all together in Iraq. And I think that's kind of the point that we often miss, is how we're all connected in this world. And part of the themes that I convey in the book Amidst Traffic reflects that, how human lives are all interconnected in ways that we never consider or never think about or appreciate most of the times.
Yes, and I mean, Traffic is a compilation to, for our listeners of source stories.
And, it is.
So it's basically you took that writing that you did when you were deployed and writing the stories of regular people doing amazing things, and I guess you took it to the next level and made a book out of it. Can you tell us a little bit how that idea came about?
Of course, right. The collection of short stories, and just for the listeners to get a perspective, only a portion of the stories are military-related. Most of the stories are essentially everyday people who have some kind of inner struggle or inner battle that they're trying to overcome, and somehow the things they do in one story impact the people in another story. And those connections become more visible as you read the whole collection together. But I started writing most of the stories about 4 years ago through college, and then because I went to the University of Pittsburgh for English writing. And over the years, I just wrote more and more stories, and I just realized how certain stories would spark ideas in other ones. And it was only about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. maybe less, it was actually August, that I decided that I wanted them all to connect. So I went back to writing. I changed details. I changed characters' names. I added information and scrapped stuff that I thought was good that no longer fit in, and essentially created a web. And it was a web that was a bit ambitious and sometimes overwhelming, because I had to create a whole diagram to see for myself how the stories are connected. And it was a challenge to see the big picture even for myself.
Well, but it's very resemblance of life anyway, because that is exactly what happens in life.
I think so.
What? I mean, is there any circumstance in your own life that is inspire any of the stories or even the connection of them?
Several stories, right. There's a story, for example, when a young man kind of battles with rage, and in the midst of that rage, he discovers that his girlfriend was almost... sexually assaulted by strangers. The story was called Lost in the Night. That's inspired by an actual life event. A few events from Iraq inspired the story Blessed Are the War People, the whole idea of asking what does it actually mean to be blessed or be blessed by God. And I insinuate in the story that blessings are not something that's materialistic, but they're spiritual blessings. There's various stories that were either inspired by real-life events or stories that somebody else told me. The story called The Problem with My Shoes, which starts off, I knew I was in trouble when my shoes started talking to me. That line actually is not from my personal experience, but it was a story a friend of mine was telling me of a friend of his that was essentially going crazy because he thought that his shoes were literally talking with him. So I tried to put myself in his shoes, for not pun intended, but and figure out what would it be like to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that, you'll read a lot of stories where people do hear voices in their heads. None of that is actually true. I don't actually hear any voices in my head, fortunately. However, I allude to this in the intro, and I kind of play with the idea of voices in our heads, because oftentimes authors get these ideas of inspiration that we have no clue where they come from, and we end up writing these compelling stories that mean the world to us. And it's trying to dissect where our ideas come from, where does our inspiration come from. So it's the inspiration for these stories come from all kinds of places, from either images that I've seen or stories that people have told me or actual life events that I've experienced.
Wow. Do you think that your inspiration would have been different had you not been in Iraq and seen and listened to so many different things that you would have not been exposed to?
Iraq, I think the fact that I'm a journalist and I played the role of a journalist for the Army taught me to appreciate the value of people's struggles, and taught me to appreciate the stories within the stories and how lives are connected. Such as I referred earlier, how our impact in Iraq really has blessed and benefited the lives of total strangers, people we would have never considered otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But Iraq itself was not the primary, I think, inspiration for the whole collection as a whole. It was just, it definitely highlighted the themes that run throughout the book.
Yeah. As an immigrant myself, I find that the fact that I've been exposed to different ways of thought and culture, and, we are really a big cultural mess in my household right now,
yeah.
Has made me more thirsty for what other people go through and, you know, in trying to understand it. Do you find that same thirst because you came from a different country or...
I do, and I don't know necessarily if it's because I was born in Italy or and moved to the States or what, but I just simply have a desire and a pleasure. I take pleasure in hearing people's stories. I get really emotional sometimes when people unveil their so-called secrets to me, and you want to, you know, guard them with respect and not take them lightly, especially when anytime you get a chance to interview somebody, they often have a tendency to really... unveil details that they might not have considered or thought about before. That's something beautiful, I think, about the interview process is that the funny thing is that the more I go through interviews for about this book, the more I actually think about it and consider in ways that I've never thought about before. It's an exploration. It's almost a discovery process anytime you talk with somebody,
whether
it's about their lives or about something they've done.
And it is amazing how much you get out of, and it's just not with people that you don't know per se, but my experience on interviewing is mostly people that I've known all of my life, and then I, you know, realize that I didn't know anything about them really.
Yeah.
You know? And so that it's incredible what you can learn from just talking to somebody, just really just letting the walls down and just, you know, getting that information, and that's why I really like the format of your book, Amidst Traffic, because even though they're short stories are usually like just an anthology, but this is really a book, you know, with the kind of vignettes that will connect. And so you are promoting connection in between different people and with different backgrounds and different stories in it. And I think
absolutely,
that's
right.
So I really, really am happy you came up with this idea.
And I think the overall goal is that hopefully the reader, somebody who is stimulated by the book intellectually, will use it as a conversation piece or allows people to kind of come together, people who have many disagreements and simply discuss the themes involved. And the themes are very theological and Christian in tone. But the wonderful part is that I was actually interviewed by an atheist journalist for this book a few weeks ago for a local paper, and it was remarkable how respectful our conversation was in discussing themes that are oftentimes can result in violent language or aggressive or even insulting tones between people who have fundamental disagreements with each other. It's not intended to put aside our differences, but discuss our differences, because it's only when we can connect with each other at a human level and talk with each other with respect that we can overcome the differences that stand between us. And I would consider myself an extremely conservative and convicted Christian. You know, I'll die to my grave believing that there is a God and that His path for salvation is through Jesus Christ. However, the most beautiful part is about a book like this is that we're humans first, and we all have human suffering, and we will never understand somebody unless we're willing to listen to their human pains.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It doesn't matter, you know, which highway you take to go through life. The feelings that we have, the fears that we have, and the struggles that we go through and the challenges we face are really the same.
Absolutely, right.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Michelle Soray, author of Amidst Traffic.
stay tuned because we're going to continue this personal and candid conversation with Michelle about being the voice of soldiers in Iraq and the real value of people's struggles and experiences. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, Amidst Traffic, by visiting his website at www.msaret.com, and that is msauret.com.
I think this is great. I think that this is a way that people can connect, you know, and maybe, you know, this book is the beginning of something bigger.
Yeah, I hope so. In fact, I do three or four stories in the collection revolve around a group called the Duct Tape People, which is kind of an underground, mysterious organization that follows visionaries around the country in order to persuade these visionaries who can see disastrous visions of the future into certain actions. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to be producing a whole novel just about that. So it's cool that not only are the stories interconnected within this book, but I plan on connecting them to other books. In fact, a story called A Voice with Reason in this collection is actually tied to my first book, Breathing God, just through various minor details.
So if somebody that is agnostic or atheist is curious about your book, what would you hope they would get from it?
First, to show them that Christians are not as presumptuous as we appear to be. I think that this book shows our vulnerability of the Christian because it battles with a lot of Christian themes such as the existence of God, the meaning of our own life, the struggle we face in identifying with our freedom under God's sovereignty. So I intended this book to really reveal the theological battles that Christians face and not to put those struggles as a petri dish for atheists to dissect or mock, but to kind of open the conversation of why do Christians believe what they believe about God and about the world, and what does that mean for the greater scope, and invite them into the conversation. One thing that I see is that oftentimes, you know, Christians are viewed as intellectually shallow or absent from today's modern world of, you know, science and reason. But I would argue that most people don't believe in God or don't believe in God based on science, but based on personal struggles and convictions.
Yeah.
It's usually more personal than it is.
I agree.
Than it is scientific.
I agree. When I was growing up, I grew up in an Italian missionary school, Catholic missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty about missionaries is their open-mindedness. And the something that they can, you know, and I was a teenager, and that's a very, very critical time for somebody trying to form a way of their beliefs and all that. And I remember asking the priest about, because we were studying science, you know, and we were studying Catholic religion, which is very, very, close-minded sometimes if you go
mm-hmm,
into the
right.
literal way. And he told us, well, it depends how you see science. You know, in my mind, science is the procedure that God took to create things.
Absolutely, yeah, I couldn't agree
with
that more.
So that showed me, I remember at that time, that's when I realized it really is not about dividing things. It's how we can put things together in our mind that will make who we are.
Yeah, and I think the other wonderful factors about missionary work, which I've never been a part of, unfortunately. I've considered it several times, but I can somewhat kind of imagine that people are connected based on human needs first. I use the word deploy, but I guess people who go out to third world countries to profess the gospel, you can't profess the gospel without reaching out the needs of the people. And sometimes, you know, you see children who are starving. What are you going to say? Well, I don't have food for you, but here's the Bible. No, you give them both, because humans have human needs. And I think that's, again, addressed again and again in the book, between characters who are either strange or even ordinary, they all struggle with things that are very personal.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that's a lot of things that I saw with the missionaries. I mean, they would take their shoes and give them to people who was barefoot. And I literally seen that happen. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, it has in my mind, it's really how we connect that's going to make us who we are. And the belief comes afterwards. And if you're somebody that is very human, and it really doesn't matter what you believe in, you know, it's the connection to your fellow humans that's going to make you a good or a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, your book is a good example of it, because in the sense, even though you are talking about the struggles of Christians and their beliefs and how what they face and everything, you are human. Your stories are human-centered. They focus on the humanity of us.
I think so, right, yeah. And the other thing that highlights that is that, you know, I think that we're all born with a personality and characteristics, and oftentimes people keep asking, is it more you're growing up, or is it more your personal personality that you were born with? And it's a little bit of both. I think that we're all born with an initial type of personality or tendencies, but we're also shaped and molded by the relationships that we build around us.
Yeah, I agree.
And sometimes by total strangers. And I've always found it funny how you can have a great, wonderful, really deep, meaningful conversation with a total stranger, and then you go home and you sometimes struggle communicating with the very person you know you've been married with or that you've known your whole life because you're brothers and sisters.
Well,
that's highlighted in the book as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what I went through, and I didn't understand at that time, you know, that actually I was growing up with folks from Addict's Rest parents. This was up in World War II. But they were not able to relate to us as people, and
right.
yet they were perfect. All my friends loved my parents.
Yeah, right, right.
And if I wasn't there, they would just sit and have coffee with them and stay for a couple of hours waiting for me to get there.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And that haunted me all my life, and I couldn't understand why it is. And now I realize it's just a human condition, and it's, you know, your experience in life that's going to determine what you end up being able to do and what takes you a longer time to do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, an example that kind of can bring a visual to this idea is that you could be a regular coffee drinker at a local coffee shop, and you have these great conversations with a barista. You connected really, you could connect personally, spiritually, whatever, and you think, wow, this barista has always smiles, has a great personality, but you don't see what's inside, you know, behind the door, and he may be deeply troubled.
Yeah.
And he might go home and not be able to have that same connection with the very people that are closest to him. And that's, you know, that's a challenge. And I think an author who conveyed that really well in his writing is an author by the name of Richard Bosch, whose short stories are phenomenal. And he always has characters
He's from the 70s?
Say again?
Is he from the 70s?
No, he's still alive today.
Really?
He's still alive today, and I don't know when he started writing. He's older, maybe in his 50s or 60s.
Oh, I think it's my favorite writer that you're talking about, but I call him Bach, Richard Bach. Is he the one that did the Illusions book?
Delusions book?
Illusions, yeah.
It's short stories. I'm trying to think. I think it is Richard Bach, right.
Yeah.
What did I say? Bachman?
You said Bosch or...
Oh, but yeah, I might have mispronounced
it's B-A-C-H,
it.
B-A-C-H, right?
Yes,
that's
correct. Yeah, I might have mispronounced
author.
It.
Yeah, that's my favorite author.
And his story, Valor, is fantastic, where a man has been drinking all night, and in the morning he saves a whole school bus worth of kids from an accident, and yet his wife, because he's a drunk, doesn't believe him that he just saved human lives. And not only that, but she's almost on the verge of divorcing him. You know, and they can't communicate with each other. He's not able to let her in on his deep troubles, and she won't. Like, there's these walls that people put up between one another. It's
mm-hmm.
just a wonderful theme that to explore, especially from a literary fiction standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I can't believe you're just mentioning that I grew up with his books. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. You see, there you go. The interview process, the things that you find out.
Mm-hmm.
From
and that happens, I think everybody experiences that every day, that some stranger you met years ago seemed rather meaningless, and then years later they come up and have a major impact on your life. You know, you have characters in Amidst Traffic. There's a woman who covers herself in tattoos because she fails to hold on to memories on her own, and you think that that life is all compartmentalized and secluded and boxed away, but then she prompts a total stranger who sees it, who happens to see her, into a really twisted game of staring at people because he wants to figure out what it feels like to be God and essentially make judgments of people based on their outward appearances.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that impacts another story and another story and another story.
Yeah, this is wonderful. I only kind of gazed upon your book, but you're making me want to read it so much.
Excellent. Good. That's
so,
my goal.
Yeah, this is it's a really great book. I want to tell our listeners, where can they find your book?
So currently it's on Kindle and Amazon, Amazon and paperback. It's printed through a company called Create Space, and my goal is going to be in January to also get it on Nook, and then iBook, and then any other e-reader platforms that are available. And then shortly after that, my goal is to try to get into Barnes & Noble's, which is a tall shot, but because the book is actually so highly reviewed overall, both by you know, reader reviews and other websites that I've submitted to, I think I have a good opportunity to get into Barnes & Noble's. And if not, at least start off with local bookstores. You got to start small and then go from there.
Yeah.
But right now, Amazon's the best place to buy it.
Yeah. And then your website also, you just started your own website. I mean, you had a photography website.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I'll just mention it for listeners, whoever is interested in photography, and that's onewaystreetproduction.com?
Yeah, without the S, onewaystreetproduction.com.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you have also your own author website that just went up, and it's www.msfauret.com.
Yep.
And as msfauret.com.
Yep, that's correct.
I mean, we're running out of time, but I just
sure.
talked with you all day. So interesting. What would you say somebody that's beginning to write short stories? What advice would you tell somebody that's beginning to write short stories?
Yeah, so the site, the website, msfauret.com, my goal is to use it also as a blog to convey some of my early experiences in publishing, writing, to pass along to people. And I used to believe that when I was writing stories that I had to write these amazing supernatural or like really over-the-top stories. But then one advice that I got that I think a lot of people pass along is write about what you care. Write stories the way that you'd want to read them and just go from there. And if you're not going to necessarily sell your stories to everybody, I think that oftentimes we try to force stories that really deeply care about and make them commercial. But I think we should try at least avoid that at first. Write stories you care about that really you're passionate about, and then go from there. And eventually, if you do the work and you spend the time over the years, and yes, years, not months, because the goal is to make this a career if you really love writing, over the years you gather more readers that normally wouldn't have given you a chance at first. I wrote my first book and published it when I was 18, and unfortunately had a break break in writing because the Army deployment. Then I started working with a local paper, then the photography business, and I got back into it. So I lost all those years of momentum that I could have been building. So my goal is that, you know, I'm 27 now. Hopefully by the time I'm 47, 20 years from now, I'll write a bestseller. But it's not going to happen overnight.
Oh,
so
no
be patient and be perseverant.
I have no doubt. It's you know, it's like my parents always say, you know, it's, you know, you just shoot to the target, and eventually, if you keep shooting, you'll make the book, you know, the middle.
Absolutely.
So just
yep.
keep, be constant and never give up.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You've been extremely easy to talk with, by the way, Susan. You're a great interviewer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too, actually, there.
Appreciate that.
It's a connection thing. So I'm really glad that you came to Inside Scoop Live, and I encourage all your listeners again to visit your website at www.msfauret.com,
mm-hmm.
and that is M as in Mother, Sauret. www.thebestofyourself.com. And good luck with you.
Thanks so much.
You know, I can't wait till I start reading your book. So I'm sure we'll talk again.
Fantastic. Yeah, and again, for those listeners out there, this book is literary in style, and I think it's going to really compel you to think about the emotions and the people that are in your life.
And I'm sure they will enjoy it. And to you listeners, thank you so much for being with us, and until next time.